Welcome to the Mind and My Wellness podcast, your podcast for all things macros, movement, mindset, and everything in between. I'm your host, Dani Marienberg, an ex-yo-yo dieting cardio junkie turned sustainable nutrition coach who's helped over 1,000 women feel confident in their skin by learning how to eat for their goals without sacrificing a life well lived. I created the Mind and My Wellness podcast to give you simple, effective, and manageable tips you can take away from each episode and implement in your daily life to look and feel like the best version of you. Each week, my guests and I teach you the secrets to mastering your health and owning your power. Nutrition, mindset, movement, and women's health are all topics you'll find here. Think of our time together as your productive little health break from the day. So grab your headphones, fill up your water, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Mind and My Wellness podcast. And this is probably one of the most special episodes I have so far and maybe will ever record. So special that this is the sixth take now because I have not been able to get through it without getting very emotional, but I feel like this is going to be the one. So I shared late last week that Eric and I are expecting our first baby after almost 2 years of struggling with hypothalamic amenorrhea and gut issues and this overwhelming fear that I wasn't going to be able to naturally have children. And so I am just over the moon. I am still in shock, I think, that we are here and just feeling so grateful. But I also want to just start this episode by saying that one, this was not a linear path for me. This was not the path that I imagined. I never really thought about the struggles that came with conception and pregnancy. And so my heart goes out to everybody who has struggled with infertility issues and with, you know, HA like me and with this fear that they also won't be able to have the opportunity to have children naturally. It's not the journey that they imagined it would be because guess what? If anything, I have learned that life throws curveballs and you can't plan out anything. And this journey has showed me that. I remember still, and some of you may remember this too, because I shared about this experience, but in the depths of my infertility hormone struggles, I had gone to my OB at the time. And I really wanted to get tests done to see, you know, what is the root cause of this? What is all of this that is happening? And I was taking other approaches through functional medicine and all of that. But I went to my OB and I remember feeling so defeated, so lost, so disheartened when I was told that my best option was to go on a breast cancer medication to try to help to get my ovulation and period back. And that was not at all the route that I wanted to take. And I remember leaving that office, walking down the hallway and hearing a heartbeat from an ultrasound in another room and just losing it with tears. I got to the car and just started hysterically crying because I felt so lost. I felt fearful that I would never get to that point. After trying countless things and investing so much of my own money and time into getting to the root cause of why I was having such trouble with my cycle and fertility. And looking back on that moment now, I can see holistically some of the things that really made the biggest impact on my health that I truly, truly believe allowed me to naturally get pregnant and get pregnant, honestly, before I even thought I could because of my cycle. And so I'm going to share that today. I'm going to share my experience, how I found out, how I shared it with Eric. I'm going to share about my first trimester, the secrets that I kept from you guys or tried to keep from you guys. I feel like I slipped up a couple times and I'm sure some of you caught on, but I'm really excited for this episode. So without further ado, what I think really helped me get pregnant was a lot of the things I talked about a couple weeks ago in my episode all about my hormone journey. And I dove in deep into my struggle with HA, with Candida, with H. pylori, and with my nervous system in that episode. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend giving that one a listen. But with my journey to pregnancy, the things I truly think that moved the needle were, A, I had already had my nutrition very, very dialed in. And by that, I mean, I was not eating in a deficit. If anything, I was eating in a surplus. I was actually gaining body fat over the past 5-6 months prior to getting pregnant. I had completely cut out exercise in the hopes of getting my cycle back. And I was also simultaneously working on regulating my nervous system. And so I did this in a few ways. I did it through practices that were somewhat foreign to me, but I dove in head first and I truly kind of just gave it my all. I said, you know what? I am open to all of the different functionalities and modalities to help me get to this goal of getting pregnant. And some of those were breath work. I did guided breath work. I did hypnotherapy. I did craniosacral therapy. I did acupuncture. At the beginning, I was doing acupuncture twice a week to really get my cycle back. And between those things, between the work I did even the past year with healing my candida and H. pylori and really focusing on what my body needed, which was to get out of fight or flight mode. Truly, I believe that stress on the body, I mean, there's so much science behind this too, but I feel even more connected to this because of my own experience. When I was able to identify, wow, I am living in this fight or flight. I am always, always, always on. I don't know how to turn off. That's when I turned to this nervous system work. And I truly believe that this helped tremendously in my journey to pregnancy. And I say that not just somewhat assuming, but I have very clear indications of how it helped. So I remember my first craniosacral therapy, which if you don't know what craniosacral is, I highly recommend giving it a look up because I truly think that this has made such an impact in my overall health. But I had my first craniosacral therapy session. In that session, I'm meeting with my doctor who is kind of a hybrid. He's a functional medicine doctor, but also a Chinese medicine doctor. And so he, at the end of the session, which I was not expecting, told me that he, one, saw me pushing a child on the swing, meaning that he thought it was going to be a lot sooner than I was expecting, that I would have a family and Eric and I would have a family, but also that I would get my cycle back, you know, much quicker than I thought I would because it had been inconsistent. I only had 3 periods in almost 2 years. And after that session, I went home and something, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you what got me to test, but I felt like something felt different. And so I had a box of ovulation strips. I was not ovulating up until this point. It was very sporadic, if at all. And I took an ovulation test and it tested positive that day. That to me was mind-blowing. Follow that, 2 weeks later, I get my period. And this was the first period I had had in 6 months. And so I was feeling very hopeful. Marrying that with all the other work I was doing, like the acupuncture, the breath work, the hypnotherapy, and really focusing on how can I protect my space? How can I prioritize my mental health? How can I prioritize rest and digest over fight or flight? And this allowed me to get my cycle back. Within a month, I was really, really hopeful I was going to get, you know, this perfect period 28 days later. And that wasn't the case. I didn't have this perfect cycle, but I also didn't really expect to have this perfect cycle right away, nor did my practitioners expect that. They thought that it would take a couple months for it to get more regular, but seeing an improvement between the 6 month span that I was typically having was going to be huge. So fast forward, this is October when I had my period, fast forward to December, and I track my body temperature with my Oura ring, and I was able to identify the last time I had my cycle that, oh, cool, my body temperature is rising. I ovulated, and then, you know, after that, I got my period and it dropped back down. Well, in mid-December, early to mid-December, I noticed that my temperature was rising. And I was like, yes, amazing. This is less than that 2 month window. We're getting our period back. This is absolutely incredible. And so I waited. You know, I'm just anxiously waiting to get this, to get this period. And it was the morning of December 21st when we were driving up to my family's for Christmas. And that morning, something just prompted me to take a pregnancy test because I did not think I was getting my period. I was like, you know what? I feel very in tune with my body now. And in that moment, I was like, I just don't think it's my period. But I also did not think I was pregnant. But just the curiosity in me prompted me to take a pregnancy test. And I took this pregnancy test at 6 a.m. as we were trying to pack to leave, you know, by 8 a.m. because we were procrastinating with our packing. But I took the test and the faintest second line showed up to the point where I didn't know if I was actually seeing a second line or if it was just my imagination. And so I freak out in a good way and I take another pregnancy test. And that first test, which later I've learned so much about pregnancy tests, that first test I took was a first response early read test. The second test I took almost, you know, immediately after, I barely could even be on the stick, but I was like, I need confirmation, was a clear blue test. Later, I found out that the first response is more sensitive than the clear blue. So not only is it less sensitive, the clear blue test, but I was also using the second urine of the day. So it was more diluted. And that test came back negative. So I was very, very confused. And I text my girlfriend, who I knew would be able to better guide me in this, and her thought was, you must be pregnant because there's no possibility that that little faint line would even pop up if the HCG hormone wasn't present. And so I did all this research before, you know, leaving the bathroom. Of course, Eric didn't even notice. And so I realized, like, okay, I do think I'm pregnant. I think it's just extremely early. And because I'm so in tune with my body, because I'm tracking my body temperature, I must have caught it, I mean, as soon as humanly possible. So I leave and I'm trying to compose myself. I am just all over the place. Still need to pack and I'm trying to get Eric's attention. Of course, you know, I want to get this on like video telling him, and he is taking his sweet time packing, taking a shower. And I'm like, hey, can you put some clothes on? I have something I need to talk to you about. And he did not believe it at first either because the line was so faint. It took us really looking at this test for it to sink in. But also, we knew in that moment, it was so early, or it must be so early, that we were very cautiously optimistic. And every day for 8 days after that test, I took a new test because I almost didn't believe that my body could get pregnant at that time, because I had had one cycle, one period, an ovulation cycle about a month and a half before this. And I didn't get another one the next month, nor did I really notice if I had ovulated. And so I did not necessarily trust that I was pregnant. I didn't know if my body could actually do it. I also didn't know if I could continue with this pregnancy, being in the state that I had been with this irregular cycle and hypothalamic amenorrhea. So I was very cautiously optimistic, as was Eric, but every single day, the lines on the test just kept getting darker. And that added a lot of promise to me. And so we were taking it each day. Each day felt like a million days in one. And no one ever told me how long those first few weeks of first trimester after you find out feel, because there is a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot of fear. And with fear, I had fear already, but on December 29th, we were at home, we were back at home, and I had a little bit of spotting. And I had done a lot of research. I knew that that could be pretty normal in early pregnancy, but I still called my doctor and I let her know. And she said, well, because we don't actually know how far along you are yet, I hadn't gone into an appointment, and my last cycle was technically in October, she recommended I go to the emergency room. And I took that and kind of put it in my pocket. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to monitor. I'm going to see, you know, if anything else comes up, and then we'll take that advice. But I don't think I need to go to the emergency room. The next day, on December 30th, there was more and it was brighter. And it shook me to my core because I was not expecting that. And because of the brightness, Eric and I both agreed we needed to go to the emergency room. And so we went to the emergency room. Of course, it was a nightmare. It was New Year's Eve weekend, and it was like, you know, 5, 6 p.m. We were there for 6 hours. And by midnight, you know, I had done all these ultrasounds and blood work. And the doctor came in and he told us that, unfortunately, we miscarried. Or worse, it was an ectopic pregnancy. And to go in to our doctor immediately in the new year after the holiday to make sure to get blood work done, to make sure my HCG levels were dropping, to get another ultrasound to see if they could identify if the sac was in, you know, a tube rather than in the uterus for an ectopic. And I just filled with fear. I filled with sadness. And never did I think, knowing the rates at which, sadly, miscarriage can occur, knowing the cautiousness I went in to this pregnancy with, I was shaken to my core. And I had never, I had never felt that sort of sadness before. I just felt broken. And a good 2 days went by, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, where I felt lost. I felt like the best thing was taken away from me. And I wanted to keep holding on to hope, praying that this doctor was wrong. But I kept replaying the hospital and asking him, is there any way it's just too early to see, or that, you know, that there is hope that the baby's okay? And his response was no, that we either miscarried or it was an ectopic. We needed to go into our doctor immediately, as soon as possible. And any hope I had bubble up, I would try to squash it because this doctor was so certain. And it's still extremely emotional for me to think about this experience because I wish that this never happened to anybody. I wish miscarriage wasn't as common as it is, because no matter how much you can prepare yourself for something like that, it just can completely destroy somebody. And this was, again, something I knew was a possibility, but never did I think it would crush me so much. And so for about 3 days, we thought that we had miscarried. And I'm sharing this experience because I want everyone to know that sometimes doctors can be wrong. And in my case, the doctor was. And we go to our appointment. We got in January 2nd. First thing, they do an ultrasound. And the ultrasound tech, I will never forget this. I can't see the monitor, but she goes, "Oh, so the doctor said you miscarried?" And I tried to explain, well, of course, I'm over explaining. I'm like, "Yes, but we want to make sure that it's not an ectopic." And she's like, "Well, I'm not the doctor. I was meeting with the doctor after, but," and she turns the screen and I just see Eric's eyes just start to fill up with water. And there was the sac, there was the embryo right where it was supposed to be. And I almost didn't believe it. I was so relieved, but also terrified because I didn't want to go through this roller coaster of emotion again with how deeply I felt over those past couple days to then think, oh my gosh, the baby's okay. What if this happens again? And so for 3 weeks or so after this experience, I lived in fear every single day. And it was so hard. Every day felt like 10 days in one. I was expecting to go to the bathroom and see blood. And I just did not feel like myself. And it was hard for me to show up as a wife, show up in my business. It was hard for me to get through my day without just constantly thinking of this fear. And I never was really prepared for the fears of first trimester. And so I share this not to scare anybody at all, but to really connect with those who also experience a lot of fear, maybe loss in their first trimester that they just never felt prepared for, because I don't know how you can feel prepared for something that you've never experienced on this level. And it was also this experience where I felt like I trusted in this ER doctor so much, yet there was still this little hope inside of me, this little inclination. It was like I was trying to trust my body. No, this baby's okay. No, there is a possibility that the doctor's wrong. And it is just amazing how even, you know, the most incredible doctors, the smartest doctors, there can be wrong diagnoses. There can be, you know, problems with testing and all of that. So it's always important to get a second opinion, but I wanted to share that experience because it was just such a traumatic but also eye-opening experience so early in pregnancy that I hope no one ever has to go through. I am saddened that, and my heart goes out to every single woman who does experience loss, because that was the hardest couple days. And I'm very fortunate that my situation turned out the way it did. But for so many people, that's not the reality. And I feel so full of love for those individuals. Anyway, this got a little heavy, But I really wanted to share that because it's been weighing on my heart for months now, since this happened, and I haven't really been able to share this. But moving on to some lighter things, with the first trimester, I did not have it easy. Let's just say that. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't easy. I had the constant nausea, constant fatigue, exhaustion, and I completely lost my appetite and had a food aversion to nearly all protein. Coming from the protein queen, I just could not even look at protein. If it was in the house, I could not eat it. I could eat it if it was made for me outside of the house, which I think is actually a pretty common aversion. But over the course of the first trimester, I really had to focus on how can I get in protein, even if it's less protein than I'm used to eating, how can I prioritize getting in protein? And so I'll be sharing over the course of the next couple of weeks and months how I prioritized getting in protein, especially because protein does help so much with nausea. And it helped me on those days that I did experience, you know, those really bad bouts of nausea, that I was able to kind of work through them a little bit better. So I experienced all of those fun symptoms. I think one that I wasn't expecting was the food aversion. And there weren't many foods that did sound good to me, except for cereal and cornbread. Not sure why, but loved those. Toast was another one. I was a very big carb girl. And I would get in my head a little bit because I was like, I know how important protein is. I know. But in the first trimester, sometimes you just do the best that you can. And really, this applies across life. But I gave myself a lot of grace. And this also applied to my working out. With my workouts, I had already, as I had mentioned, I had already pulled back drastically on working out, where I was only walking on the days, you know, most days I was walking, but I wasn't doing strength training leading up to when I did get pregnant. And that was out of this protocol to really get my cycle back regulated and get my body out of this fight or flight. Even though exercise is so beneficial for your health, for certain periods and certain people, there is this time frame where you might actually need to cut back. And that is exactly what I truly believe I needed to do to get to that point. And so I had not strength trained for a good 2, maybe even 3 months. And throughout first trimester, there were some days where I couldn't even get off the couch to get a walk in. And so I was very easy with myself, you know, between the weeks 6 and I'd say about 10. Those were really the trenches for me. And then at about 11 weeks, 10, 11 weeks, I started kind of strength training again. At week 9, my goal was just to get 3 20 to 30 minute at home strength workouts in. And I did that and I noticed how much better I started feeling. So week 10, I made a priority to do 4 strength workouts, even if that was just 20 minutes, even if it was just minimal working out. And as I got into it, I noticed how much better it was making me feel. And I really started to prioritize my strength again and my daily movement as best I could. I think I'm pretty fortunate that about, you know, late week 10, week 11, my first trimester symptoms really started subsiding. And by week 12, I was feeling so much better. And week 12 was when Eric and I went to Mexico City. I felt like a new woman. I was walking all over the place. It just felt really good. And I do think that it has a lot to do with, obviously, coming out of first trimester, but also the fact that I started learning how to get in protein and also move my body in a way that was supporting me. So those things really, really helped me throughout the first trimester. Last but not least that I wanted to kind of share, because I think it's a little funny, there were some secrets that I had been keeping. And I don't know how well I was keeping those, like I said, but I had launched the New Year Reset program, the 4-week program in January. And I had launched that program for signups before I found out I was pregnant. And it was so funny because so many times on our live weekly calls, I had used like first trimester as an example for certain things. I'm not sure if anyone really picked up on that, but I was able to really incorporate it well into what I was trying to explain, especially because there were so many mothers that were in the program. I felt like they were able to relate to it. But every single one of those weekly calls, I mean, I was heavy breathing. I was out of breath every single call, and I wanted to say something so bad because I felt like, I don't know what it is, but I was not expecting first trimester to always feel like I was out of breath. I'm like, I'm not even showing it. Why am I out of breath? And so those calls were kind of funny. I felt like I was just like keeping the secret, and people in my head, I'm like, oh, everyone thinks that I'm like, did I just run a marathon before I took this call? So that was pretty funny. And then I got so many requests for recipes in January. And I apologize, you guys. I could not look or touch food nor make full recipes in January. So there was a day where I was like, hey, Danny, you're going to do a whole meal prepping series and you're going to put together some recipes. And a little secret there is that I ate nothing that I shared that month. I prepped all that food and it went straight to Eric. So I felt like I was kind of living in this facade where I was like, this is what I normally do, but I am not doing this right now because I cannot even look at this chicken breast. And so that was another funny little secret there. But the last thing is I post photos. And when I go to the gym, so many times I was a little worried. Granted, by the time this episode comes out, I will be about 16 weeks pregnant. I shared my pregnancy announcement at 15 weeks. And so up until this point, I just started showing. As I'm recording this, I'm 14 weeks pregnant. I just started slightly showing, but I was in that phase where I was just looking extremely bloated all the time. I was at the gym and I would like hold my little bloat baby because I was like, you guys, you don't know this yet, but I'm pregnant. And so I remember posting some videos and my mom immediately messaging me like, are you trying to out yourself? Are you trying to get caught? And to be honest, I'm sure, actually, I'm pretty sure there are many people who caught on because I don't know how many messages I got telling me that I looked like I was glowing, which I think is your way of saying, hey, I think you might be pregnant, but you were right. And so it was really hard to feel like I could show up and post on Instagram in the way that I'm used to posting because from the first trimester, you know, we wanted to make sure our baby was healthy and we were getting through these tests and everything was coming back looking really strong. And, you know, I was feeling good before we shared this news publicly, which was really hard because I wanted to share the second I found out. So I really want to share all of this because I know how invested so many of you have been in my journey to this point. And I know how many of you are in a similar journey or have been in a similar journey. And I hope that by sharing my story, it can bring a lot of hope. It can show you that, yes, you can get pregnant, even if your cycle isn't perfect. I was working on it for so, so long, and it truly was getting better. And like I said, all of those things that I was doing to help with my gut health, my nutrition, my nervous system work, all of these things, I truly think helped lead me to getting out of this fight or flight mode. allowing my body to feel safe enough to create a life inside of me. And I was able to get pregnant without even having that perfect cycle. And so I share this story again to hopefully provide some hope and another perspective and evidence of how someone who did struggle with hypothalamic amenorrhea, what a mouthful, can get pregnant. I've seen this story so many times, and I am just so fortunate and so thankful that I am sitting here right now sharing this story. So I can't wait to share the rest of this journey with you now that it is public, and take you along for this ride with me into my journey into motherhood. So thank you guys so much again for all of your support that you have provided me over the past 2 years on this journey. Truly, every single comment, DM, everything means so much to me because I know how supported I am in this community, and I only hope that you feel supported by me as well. So thank you so much. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week with another jam-packed informational episode. But until then, keep minding your wellness. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I love hearing from you. So shoot me a DM over on Instagram at Mindin' My Macros to keep the convo going. If you've learned anything from this episode or any of my past episodes, I'd really love it if you took a few seconds to leave a quick rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I love hearing what you've learned or what you've taken away from any of these episodes. It means so much to me when you do that. And if you have any friends you know that need a little help kicking some old dieting mentalities to the curb and want some simple, effective, and sustainable tips to feel their best, share a link to this episode with them. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.